Chapter 20, Second Step.
What do you mean he's staying the night in Sykana? That wasn't the plan.
Downtime is essential. It gives the witch an opening. If we're lucky, the rogue will take it.
Does he have his backup?
No, but that was his call, not mine. He knows what he's doing.
According to Morgana, he's holding on by a thread. Delia Barmassat just sent us a follow-up report stating the same.
Silver said he was going to light a beacon. It was a beta-level energy event. There's no way a witch could ignore it, or the fact that he survived.
He's only rated as Delta Prime. What if he breaks?
I'll press the trigger.
The dining room collected a steady flow of hungry Sanctionites and the gathering murmurs of a new day.
Rough night?
Said Lexi. She was seated securely beside Funnel Galt. Hangover, I replied, taking my place at the Balajem head table. Now that his future had finally arrived, Galt seemed taller and more serious. Maybe he'd lost some weight. Regardless of our sordid past, I was glad for the familiar faces. It had been more than a month since I'd last seen Funnel Galt and Alexis Silk in the flesh, and with Galt heading off the planet, it was high time we squared things. Lexi looked perfect as usual, doing her best not to cling to Galt's arm as he ate.
The War Master's ghost finally returns.
Galt's opening left plenty to be desired for its snarky tone. Who peed in his synthetic coffee? Probably the machine that served it. I offered him my friendliest and most insincere tone. I've come to see you off. I hear you're shipping out.
A Primaris contingent has arrived on Terra to induct me into their ranks. The real training is about to begin.
I couldn't help rubbing it in. So Lexi's job is reaching an end. What will she do without you? It was a mean reminder, but I'd felt her touch and knew the achingly slippery slope she climbed. In our last encounter, they'd both toyed with me, leaving me tagged as a target for Commissar Belling. Another video was about to come out that would certainly cheer them up, but I wouldn't mind if Galt missed it. He shrugged.
She'll latch on to the next funnel and keep him from doing anything too stupid.
I shot back. Like sleeping with his groupies?
What would you know about that?
I ignored his question. When you ship out, do you think you'll ever run into Mateen on the front lines?
Maybe, but I doubt it. It's a bigger galaxy than you or I can imagine.
Galt gave me one of his best, what do I care, shrugs, but his eyes couldn't mask the heat I was kindling behind them. I didn't care about Mateen or Galt, or even Lexi, but there was a black witch about. I needed to know who was pulling the strings on the night that Mateen turned rotten. Who does Lexi work for?
Who do you think?
The Imperial Guard.
You're not as thick as you look, or maybe you are. I still remember the look on your face as you went over the edge at Satellite.
How could you? You were out cold.
Funnels are hard to keep down for long. You should know that by now.
Lexi wasn't enough for you, was she? He choked on his next bite.
You want to step outside and settle this?
I'd tried that once. And end up catching 10 bullets instead of 6 from the commissariat? You set me up for more than one big fall that night.
Welcome to Sykana. Its methods are every bit as dirty and devious as war. Get used to it.
Like Mateen?
Mateen was a player. He stepped over the line and got what he deserved.
Shields or no shields, the truth hit me square in the chest. Galt had been eliminating the competition and had the backing to do it. I'd spent my days haunting Satellite and seeing the results in one woman's eyes. Feth. Nobody wanted to see a rogue in the mirror. Besides Rasa, who did Mateen play with that day? Lexi's face darkened beyond measure, and she set her fork down, answering my question. She was a coercer, and her job was to protect Galt at all costs. In doing Galt's bidding, there was no doubt that she'd been the one that shoved Mateen over the edge. Her ability to compel could have an incredibly destructive effect on a person's mind, especially if she didn't know how they'd react. I kept my voice low. Lexi, with your unmatched powers of persuasion, did you think no would be enough? The woman shook her head. She'd taken the risk, turning Mateen into a monster, and had become his first victim. That was her secret. Feth. Galt's eyes seemed to open.
Silver, what are you getting at?
Rasa wasn't the only woman that Mateen attacked that day. I wanted to scream at his feigned ignorance and the damage he'd wrought. That Lexi had stuck by Galt through it all shook me more than the woman's unspoken confession. Lexi was another sinister spider nearing the end of its mission. In one way, we were alike. She had her job and I had mine, and neither of us was going to like ourselves in the end. Galt set his fork down and cast his eyes about the room. I did the same, waiting for his response. Somewhere in between us, Lexi folded in upon herself in a way I didn't think possible. She saw it coming.
Then we're over and done.
Galt pushed back his chair and calmly walked away. For him, a new reality was about to begin. Being untouchable, Funnel Galt followed the vilest of paths without the need for any clear conscience. Sanctioned or not, his heart was blacker than any witch. Lexi jumped up and bolted from the dining room, both hands covering her mouth. I offered a silent prayer, "Let war take him," to the empty chairs around me. A table in the far corner held a few familiar faces. Each stared back at me as if I truly were a ghost. I stood and wended my way through the dining hall, only to be accosted halfway by the bane of my existence.
Silver, how does Balajam allow in the likes of you?
Kane, what a pleasant surprise. It wasn't a surprise that the bullish Telekine ended up in Clan Balagam. The Telekines here had all the fun.
I'll be keeping an eye on you. You mess with anyone here and we'll take it outside.
A voice burdened with a lower hive drawl joined our post-breakfast repartee.
Kane, the last thing you want to do is take it outside with Silver. Leave the Warmaster's ghost alone.
Tempe, I was merely busting off his edges. He's a bit unstable and liable to hurt someone.
Don't Tempe me with anything, Kane.
The woman knew how to handle Skeller and Notch. She could certainly handle Sanctionite Kane.
I'm here trying to keep you alive. If you think Silver is unstable, you ought to take 3 steps back before the funnel lets loose.
Funnel? Like Funnel Galt?
Like the Warmaster's ghost,
said Vidal.
Silver earned the moniker and disappeared like the top half of the statue in the courtyard.
The Warmaster's statue in the courtyard looks fine to me.
Tempe had heard enough.
They replaced it before you joined us. Now shove off.
A step behind Tempe, Vidal did his best not to smile and lessen the effect. Kane didn't look entirely convinced by Tempe's explanation, but he'd met his match in terms of bluster and showed the good sense to walk away. A step behind Vidal, Rasa lingered, looking as unsure as anyone could about oneself. After a meaningful breakfast with Funnel Galt, I was eager to settle all debts. I pointed back to the group's table and asked them to join me. Tempe carried on.
You done ghosting us, Silver. And just so you know, with you being gone, I've had to settle for Vidal.
It was some of the best news I'd heard all month, but I put on my most disappointed face. Sorry to hear that, Tempe. Will Vidal survive?
Oh, it's like that. And here I've been standing up for you when others would rather toss you in the recycler.
You saw the Commissar's video. None of that was anyone's fault but mine.
It seemed to me that Galt was the culprit, the way he used Lexi to trick you into his trap.
Psychana is full of traps. Some are prettier than others, and some will send you right over the edge.
Lexi said that you didn't know. You went over the edge without any idea that the Telekines were waiting below. Is that true?
I shrugged, trying to play it cool. I'm not one to walk and think at the same time.
Are you saying that you wouldn't have tried to save Rasa if you'd taken the time to think about it?
I'm saying that I'm glad I did it, even if she didn't need saving. And I'm sorry about what happened to her. None of it was her fault.
How would you know about that?
I asked around. There are rumors of a witch haunting the Skola, so stick together. Also, keep a low profile with the Imperial Guards contingent being here. They might steal you away from Vidal. Tempe crossed her arms.
What aren't you telling us?
Plenty, I said. There'll be a new video coming out that's far worse than the last.
How could that be? That last one was gruesome.
Well, I took another beating, this time at the hands of Clan Killhaven.
Is that why you look entirely hungover this morning?
Yes, but no sense in wasting it. If you would come outside and top me off, I'd appreciate it. I've got a date later and want to be in top form. Leaving the hall, I held out my hand to each of them, hoping to reconnect with Rasa. She didn't flinch or look me in the eye. It was a start. We chose a spot in the courtyard, and the five formed a small half-circle around me under the watchful eye of Horatio Balagam version 2.0. On my mark, they lit me up with arcs of dark lightning. Even at their unhindered best, 5 biomancers paled in comparison to the 200 I'd faced the night before. Having been cleansed by Mercy and Delia, I was ready for their shower of pure energy. I shunted some away into Starfire and absorbed the rest as it splayed across my new shield.
Your armor looks different,
said Vidal.
More resilient, less prickly.
I'd graduated from Porcupine to Warp Demon in a day, and I was only getting started. I don't want to repeat execution by Commissar Belling. He's upped his game, and so have I. More Sanctionites were streaming into the courtyard from breakfast, and most stopped to watch the bright display of power. My buddy Kane was among them. I called out, "Give me 10 more Biomancers and 2 Arcs." More joined in the effort, and I shunted the bulk of the energy away. I was comfortable with the intensity of warp-driven lightning, but didn't dare unleash it without a suitable barrier in place. I yelled to Kane, "I need an umbrella. Find Galt." As Kane ran back inside, I made another request of the observers, asking for some pyro arcs. I wanted to see how the different energies mixed. Each was a product of heat, one more focused than the other. 2 arcs of 5 layered on, adding a reddish glow to the early morning scene. The unreal fire was a blanket, and I could see how it might never be able to wreck the Ceramite statue. Over time, the intense heat might melt it, but the chemical reaction lacked the density needed to take it apart unless we tried something different. I'd had a bad night. I needed to shed a world of angst. "Telekines, give me a lift!" A dozen more psychers joined in, and I felt weightless for the first time in my life. Redirecting their flow to the base of the statue, I forced myself back down simultaneously. They took that as a challenge, and I turned into a fulcrum, leveraging their uplifting resolve until Lord Horatio's heavy base hovered 4 feet off the ground. Galt shouted,
"Silver, what the feth are you doing?"
"Shields," I screamed. "Around Horatio's base." For once, I was being myself. Did I mention that I'd had a bad night? Well, Horatio Balagam was going to have an even worse morning. He was about to become a beacon. A pocket of condensed fire exploded beneath the statue, throwing the statue upward like a malformed rocket. 200 feet up, the effigy crested and caught 3 massive silver bolts through its base, chest, and head, blowing it up, out, and across the Scola Sicana sector. Pieces of the War Master rained down everywhere, and I, for one, felt better for it. A shockwave ran the length of the entire sector and back a few times. Crouching as one in the courtyard, we all listened to the distant drums and a ringing in our ears before they finally faded out. A late invite to the party, Galt was livid at the conspicuous display of power.
"What the feth was that?"
He hadn't liked this morning's breakfast one bit.
"That was for Rasa," I shouted back, daring him to challenge me further. When he didn't respond, I pocketed a hot scrap of Horatio and walked out the Balagam Hab's front door. Was I calm, cool, and collected? Not even close. My collar was running hot, drawing attention to the fact that I needed to get myself back under control. It was an unreachable goal. I was hitting my stride now and couldn't stop. A hunger grew inside me, propelling me forward as my silver soul grappled with a hook of insanity. I was a rabbit with its foot in a trap, but I didn't struggle to get free. I wanted to be caught and devoured. Sicana tried to keep us hemmed in, even when we wanted to explode. The War Master had learned the hard way, becoming an outlet for my turbulent mind. The Sisters of the Abyss were another crucial safety valve, but one could only have their existence pounded flat so many times in one day. The Overhive was a familiar home, and it demanded that I behave. Having worn the mantle of a noble all my life, it fit me better than any collar. I wouldn't sully it with my present reality. Inquisitor Trenier expected me to check in, while Lord Kilhaven wanted me to escort Samara Kilhaven on her Medicaid rounds. In my present state, both commitments seemed like a terrible idea. Instead, I took another step, hoping for something even worse. I had a date. The chime in my collar registered a new day beginning, and in the distance, Commissar Belling strode forth to war. He was backed by a pair of sisters, but I couldn't tell which in the uneven light. The thought that one would be mercy flashed through my head, and I retreated, losing my pursuit in the alleyways south of the Scola's main zone. I felt like a man cut in half. Part of me was full of energy and ready to conquer. The other half was empty, yearning for connection or redemption or anything that might right the balance. There was only one place I could go. Only one altar I could kneel before at that moment, high above the city. Solitude and a way out. Satellite offered both, but with an edge, a dead-end view of my entire world within the walls of Sicana. Names and symbols scrawled across everything like spells, each with a unique energy that sustained it long after the Maker had disappeared. Hoping for a map, I traced the images in my mind, and found myself adding a touch of silver to each, relighting the glyphs rather than making my own mark on this secluded, half-eaten world. With each mark that I touched, a whisper began, offering a name or the image of a face. A second chorus built, carrying the tune forward, and I spent what seemed like hours sharing my reality with the rite while I waited with my back to the door.
What spell is this?
McKittrick's face lit up with ghostly wonder. My date was pretty and more than impressed. I stammered, wishing all this was real. Do you like it?
Of course. Why didn't you show me this before?
You seemed unsure of who you were or where you wanted to go. I didn't want to distract you with other lights, but now I realize I was wrong. Many of these names and faces will be waiting for you in the Sea of Souls. McKittrick scanned the platform, basking in the energy that had sprouted around us. Each glow had a unique genetic signature attached to it, a singular mark imprinted on our world. Psychana had claimed them, and they had claimed it back. The ethereal form of a beautiful young woman leaned forward on tiptoe and kissed me on the mouth.
I knew I was right about you.
I tingled from the presence and the connection that hearkened the next step in our relationship. Right about what?
You didn't abandon me. You waited, even when the witch kept me chained inside.
Say my name, I said. Names are important.
I can't remember my own. How can I remember yours?
Do you trust me?
Of course.
I held out my hand. It's time for you to knock. She hesitated, frowned.
I can't. She won't let me go.
Tell her that she can have me if she unchains you. I'll wait for her here.
Do you promise?
Yes, but first she must return your name, and you must be allowed to knock. The ghost clasped my hand. A golden yellow band of energy snaked up my arm, spiraling around it until it reached my shoulder, and the stale mark of another warp creature, Zaxas the Hound. It would be proud to know its territory was still defended from interlopers. McKittrick squeaked in excitement.
I see a bright blue light. Is it mine?
That depends. What is your name?
Tegan McKittrick.
The light is yours. Go to it now. Tell your name to whomever you meet there and say that Starfire sent you.
Who is Starfire?
A friend. A safe word for someone in over his head.
Am I your friend?
Yes, and I won't forget you. I've written your name on my heart.
Goodbye, Silver.
Goodbye, McKittrick.